We always like to throw a little curve to AB. He needs the excitement and he needs the stimulation sometimes. He generally reacts fairly well. One of the things that is probably most difficult for any of us to explain is faith. What it is, what our faith is, how our faith works. There's something that, it's something that can't be purchased. It can't be mined. It's of great value. It's much to be desired. Yet most cannot obtain it because they don't know where to find it. There are those who have it for a time but lose it. Some people unexpectedly find it, and some build it up until it's able to fulfill their needs. And the Bible speaks of many different kinds of faith, but there's only one kind that's worth possessing. Second Corinthians 5:7 tells us, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And oh, I wish that was so true. Oh, we could try. But to be able to do that all the time. The Bible definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then if we drop down about six verses, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," talking about God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So in order to have any kind of a relationship with God, faith must be involved. So tonight and next Sunday night, we're going to look at some kinds of faith that exist among various parts of mankind, and how we might have our lives affected by the kind of faith that we express. So let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. And then we'll look at faith. Father, we come to you because we believe you do exist. And we believe that you do reward those who diligently seek thee. And Father, we know that you love us, that you want to do good for us, that you sent your son to die for us. And so, Father, help us to come to understand this thing we call faith. And, Father, increase our faith. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're studying one of the most important subjects that a child of God can take an interest in. Because if mistakes are made about faith, it could make the difference between life and death. Eternity in hell or eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. There's so much said in the Word of God about faith and different kinds of faith that God is trying to help us to understand this thing we call faith. Because faith will play out in everybody's life one way or the other. So, as I thought about this subject, and as I thought about, we'll take the tonight and next week to examine it, I thought the best way for us to understand faith might be to look at some examples where Jesus talked about faith. And so we will start in Matthew 14, 28 through 31. Matthew 14, 28 through 31. We all know the story. It's about Peter and the disciples seeing Jesus walk on the water. We pick it up a little further into the story at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now there's a lot that can be learned from this. So we start with Peter's faith. And Jesus said that it was little. The reason that his faith was little was because of doubt. And you know that's going to affect all of our faiths. Doubt will affect our faith. We have doubts. If we have doubts, then we cannot have much faith. As in Peter's case, the best that he could do was fail. And many times you and I start something believing that it is what God wants us to do, and then we have doubts. Doubts about whether this really is what God wants, or doubts about if we have the ability to be successful. And what happens? We fail. Almost guaranteed. Unless God supernaturally intervenes some way. There's something that you and I can learn from this story of Peter. If you and I have doubts, we are on our way to failure. It doesn't have to be that way, but it may be because we have doubts. Now let's look at an example of just the opposite. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was informing them that there were others that he was going to minister to. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Verse 28 is where we want to look. O woman, great is thy faith. Where do you see her faith? We see it in verse 22. Because she was petitioning Jesus when she had no right to do so. And I'm sure that Jesus heard her. He did not reply. In verse 25, she came with an attitude that changed Jesus' response. She worshiped him. She demonstrated that she knew who he was and what he could do, even though she was not one of the chosen ones. And you know what? Jesus responded to that. He responded in the way she wanted him to. And her attitude in worshiping him made it possible for him to grant what she was petitioning him for. We have two different people in these two examples. One of the chosen people, that was Peter. And the other, one of the rejected peoples. The chosen one who should have had faith didn't. And the one who had no right to have faith did. They both received help from Jesus. One failed and the other succeeded. They both had a kind of faith. What was the difference? Genuine belief was the difference. It appears that many people exercise faith enough to go to Jesus for help and healing. And it seems that the ones with little faith were the disciples in the beginning of Christ's ministry. And you may wonder why I would say that. Let's look at one more example before we begin to dig into the working and function of faith. The example is in Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Is it possible that you and I would respond like that in a stressful situation? Could we forget who we belong to? Could we not remember who promised that they would never leave us nor forsake us? The opening verse that I read was 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And I would ask you, is that verse true? It should be. It's supposed to be. But is that verse true? Do we walk by faith and not by sight? I'd ask a couple questions just to get us thinking about this. What if the postman didn't bring your check? What if something came into your life, some form of illness that was catastrophic? Could you thank God for that? Or would you be asking, why me, Lord? Why me? And we would be thinking in our minds, it's because I did this, or I didn't do that. And you'd be wrong. Absolutely wrong. What is walking by faith? And most of us, I don't think that all of us could say this, but we have walked by faith on specific occasions, but few of us have walked by faith all the time. As I looked at the times that Jesus talked about the disciples' faith, I started to see a pattern. And I think that Jesus was trying to teach his followers about the importance of faith all the time. For the believer to walk by faith, the believer must be concentrating on God all of the time. We must be submitting to the will of God every minute. And for the most part, we're not in that particular attitude. We're so busy with life, we don't have a chance to stop and think about it. We're not focused on God. We're focused on life. Our life. And that causes our faith to waver. If we think about God at all, it's about the things we need Him to do for us. In actuality, it should be the other way around. It's not what He can do for us. It's what we should be doing for Him. He's not our servant. We're supposed to be His servants. We've got it backwards. And we don't realize it so much of the time. God has given us so very many examples in His Word. Let's look at a short passage in Acts 6. We've been studying Acts on Wednesday night. And we have already studied this passage, but we want to go back there again and look at it. Acts 6, 2 through 8. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye at among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. The disciples decided, or the apostles decided, that they needed to not be involved in the mundane day-to-day operations, that they needed to be working to prepare messages to share with the people and to be praying about the various situations that were coming up. So they asked the church to choose out deacons. These are the first deacons. Notice two things about Stephen. We want to look at Stephen in particular. He was a man full of faith in verse 5. And in verse 8 it says that he was a man who was full of faith and power. Where there is faith, there is power. Where there is faith, there is power. Many Christians wonder why their lives seem to be so powerless. It's because their faith is so weak. I shared with you the experience of the disciples on the lake when they thought the ship was sinking. And they woke up Jesus, who was asleep, expecting him to save them. And in the account that we read in Luke 8, Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" The account in Mark 4:40, Jesus said, "Why are ye so fearful? Have ye no faith?" And I think that we can learn from these experiences, these accounts, that even believers have times when they do not exercise faith. So, what about walking by faith and not by sight? It might seem like a foolish question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why is faith so important? Why is faith so important? Most of what we do is supposed to involve faith. Sometimes the faith is misplaced. And you know what? That's our fault. We can misplace our faith in things other than God. Let me give you an example of misplaced faith. We have been directed to do something by God. Well, let's say, for example, you go out to get in your car and go to work. Demonstration of your faith in that vehicle is the fact that you put the key in the ignition and turn it. And sometimes you just go click, 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 click. And I probably don't want to know what the first words are out of some of your mouths at that point. But you have misplaced your faith. Because it was not in God. It was in a thing. The only faith that will not fail is faith in God. That's the only faith that will not fail. 2 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5. So as we think about what faith is and how the genuine Christian is involved in the practice of faith, we need to look at one of our definition verses again, Hebrews 11, 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." If you expect to receive help or substance from God as a result of your prayers, you have to believe that God really exists, that he is hearing you, and that he's going to answer you. Otherwise, if you don't believe that, your prayers are vanity. They are vain. They are worthless. So far we've looked at illustrations of how faith was spoken of by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll look at how we are instructed of God's word to use the faith that he gives. We're told how we are supposed to live our faith in Galatians. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." Now, you heard that verse this morning as we were talking about putting Jesus on the throne of our lives. It involves faith. But Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There's a lesson here. I have heard several people tell me that they have faith in themselves. "Oh, I've got my faith in myself that I know how to do this." And I can tell you by the authority of God's word that those people are going to fail. And if they depend on this faith in themselves, they're not going to make heaven. For it must be faith in Jesus Christ and what he did. It is his faith that we are to live in and walk in. It is not the wisdom of men. We are men and women. Our wisdom is vain when compared to God's. So remember what the Bible told us about Stephen? He was a man full of faith and of power. And if you have the faith of God, you will have the power of God. They go together. That's where it comes from. It comes from faith. The faith of Jesus Christ is what helps us succeed. We've just begun to explore faith. There's so much more to it. Let's look at some of the operations of faith. Faith is our shield to protect us against the attacks of the evil one. Ephesians 6:16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And I understand how there are times when you don't feel like you have much faith because the enemy has you under attack. We've all been under attack from time to time. The last few weeks have been especially hard for me because I have been experiencing the attack of the enemy. I shared with Brother Felber that he was attacking from all sides. And I don't know if I've shared with all of you, but I think I mentioned it Wednesday night that the computer that I rely on to prepare messages crashed. I went out front to see how AB was doing on the sign, and it wasn't AB. They were getting ready to install it. I went out to make sure it was going to work. And when I came in, the computer was sitting there all dark. And I tried to start it, and it gave me some error message, and I tried to start it, an error message. And that was sort of... We all have a breaking point. We all have a point, what we call a last straw. And usually it's not that big a straw. It's a very tiny one. But all the other straws that have been piled on make the difference. And for me, that was sort of the last straw. And again, why me, Lord? Legitimate question. Because he's got an answer. It's you because I want to show you something. I want to show you how great I am. And how true my word is. This is just a part of Romans 8:28. This is a good thing for you. I didn't think so. I believe the word. I believe it. And I know that verse is true. But at the time, I couldn't see it. So off to the geeks at one of my most utilized stores. And talk to the right geek this time. He said, "Oh yeah, we can do something with that." And they did. And a few days later, I was given back my computer. Everything that I had on there previously had been taken off. They had to reload all the programming on it, programs that I had downloaded from years ago. We're gone. And so I went to a new program. Well, it's an old program, but it was a new version. And you know what? Instead of a little narrow program like that, God gave me this. It had more on it than it had ever had. Things that I could use, things I was excited about. And you know what? Romans 8:28 was real. How is your faith? we're basically out of time for tonight, but so I want to close with just the chorus of a hymn. And next Sunday night, we're going to come back and revisit faith. How to make our faith operational. But the chorus that I want to remind you about happens to be one of the favorite hymns of this church. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Let's pray. Father, you are so wonderful. You are so magnificent. You are everything we would ever need. And then, Father, you love us and you want us to spend eternity with you. Oh, Father, help us believe that. Help us live based upon that fact. And then, Father, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be faithful and steadfast in our faith. And Father, we will praise you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.